And I, brethren, do not speak of you as of the spiritual, but as of the carnal, even as of the babe in Christ. But I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. But ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted Apollos water, but God gave me increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers,
Is it good or bad for the groundhog to see a shadow? I can't remember.
It's bad.
It don't matter. It's supposed to be slow. One's a positive, one's a negative. One's a summer doesn't come. Or spring doesn't come for 6 weeks. The other winter stays.
Yeah, but I don't know which one it is.
It doesn't matter because they're both 6 weeks.
See,
and anyway, what does a groundhog in Pennsylvania have to do with the weather here in Nashville?
In the middle of winter, you need anything to brighten up.
Yeah, well, that could be true. You may be exactly right. They're just grasping for anything.
Exactly. And if they grasp for groundhog, you know they're dead.
Our lesson today is entitled A Call to Sowing. And we can kind of look at this, I guess, like when Jesus was doing his parables, he would often frame them within something about agriculture, because at this time this was an agrarian society, and being an agrarian society, obviously they understood about crops and animals and raising things. A farming society. Agriculture. Okay. It is. It's going to be bad. I can see this where this is heading. Now I forgot where I was. And we're talking about sowing. So when he's talking to people, and you talk about sowing, because you know as a farmer or you have to sow something before you can get something back. In other words, you have to put out work or some kind of labor before you can get any reward back or any benefits. So that's kind of what we're talking about when it says a call to sowing. So that's S-O, not S-E. Now, this is written, this letter in the 2 Corinthians was written by Paul. And in our lesson today, he is exhorting people to take up money for the saints in Israel, in Jerusalem. Because as prophesied in the 11th chapter of Acts, there was to be a famine in that part of the country. And they were in the midst of this now, and the people of Jerusalem were in need of help. And Paul was addressing brothers and sisters in Christ, and I guess anybody else, to form a collection, get a collection, and take it back to Jerusalem. And I'm not going to get into all this. There was some issues about some had promised to give and weren't giving. And so there was a little contention here. Paul was getting a little miffed at the people weren't giving like they should. So he's written this letter, and he's telling them what the benefits of giving is, and that's where our lesson comes in to play. In the sixth verse of the ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully," or generously. And so basically this forms the statement that you get back what you put in. And that's pretty basic. But you know, that's one of the rules of life, just about in everything we do. You get back whatever it is you put into it. And if you don't put into it a lot, you can't expect to get back a lot. And it kind of puts the burden, the onus on your shoulders. For you to get what you want, you have to apply yourself toward that means. And we find out that if you do that, you will reap more bountifully. Now, in the seventh verse, he says that every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness or your prosperity. Now, here we have a issue that I think a lot of people may not understand. God is through Paul, is asking for money to be sent, to be gathered together and sent to the people in Jerusalem. And he's trying to tell them, trying to explain to them, trying to show them as an example of whatever they give is God is going to be pleased with. Now, the issue here is that nowhere in this does God say, you've got to give a certain amount. You've got to give 10%, or you've got to give what you purposed in your heart. In other words, what you feel. He's not saying a specific amount. It's just what you want to give. Now, because of that, we find that he's not interested, and this is a crux of this lesson here, he's not interested in the money. To begin with, God doesn't need any money. Now, he sees the needs of other people, and I believe he will provide. But he's not interested in how much money you're going to give. What he's interested in is where your heart is when it comes to the giving. Now, I got two examples here. One of them, I believe Terry went over either last week or whenever it was, in the 12th chapter of Mark. Let's go over here to it real quick. 12th chapter of Mark in the 41st verse. And Jesus set over against the treasury. They were in the temple. And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. You understand this? The people that had the most money put in the most money. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. Now that's about an eighth of a cent, an eighth of a penny. So she threw in two of those. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. So we find that God does not measure giving by how much you give. He measures by what it is in your heart. Now, he says plainly here that there were people that were giving a lot of money, a large sum of money. But here come this woman, and she laid in this, probably, you couldn't even see her little, they said the mite was so small, it's just, you know, it's like smaller than a dime, even in size. And she threw two of those in this coffer or wherever it was they were taking up money. And I'm sure her coins that she threw in got lost immediately, and all the wealth that was thrown in to this pot. But you see what Jesus said? He said she gave more than anybody. More than anybody. Now, he wasn't looking at the sum she gave. He was looking at what was in her heart. And she had given everything she had. Everything she had. Now, you think about that. And I'll give you another. My second example is, back when there was a preacher, his name was Ruiz. He was a Mexican, or from Mexico, and he was doing mission work down in Mexico. And I'm not going to get into things happened with him, and he's no longer, or I don't know where he is now. But he was here in town, and he was preaching one night at McFerrin. And I went over there to hear him, and he preached a really good sermon. And then they took up money for his mission work. This is my story I'm getting to. So I was going to give some money. And I reached and got my billfold. And I knew what I had in it, in my billfold. And I was going to give him, I don't know, $20 or something like that. I really don't remember. Something told me just to give it all. Whatever it was I had in my billfold, just give every bit of it. Okay. Now, my point is, I did that. And I don't want to take any honor for this at all. At all. I gave everything that was in my billfold, because that's something told me right here that that's what I needed to do. So I did that. Now, how pleased do you think God was with that? How pleased do you think? Because I look at it and say, well, I don't think he was very pleased with it. Because I was only going to give $20. Now, he had to tell me that I needed to do more than that. So what I'm trying to get across is, in this case, I mean, he was pleased with this woman who gave it all. But I don't for one minute think that he was pleased with what I gave, because he had to prod me to give it. Now, I think he would have been much more pleased if I said, I'll give you everything I got. I think he would have been much more pleased with that, because that would have been what would have been in my heart. What was in my heart was only $20. You see what I'm saying? What was in my heart was only $20, and God said, that ain't enough. So I don't think he was pleased with it. Now, I can go out patting myself on the back all day long and say, look there, I gave everything I had in my billfold for him. And if I have to stop and get gas on the way home, I'm out of luck. That's not how I view it. I view it as a shame, because I think I fail God. You see what I mean? So giving is something that needs to be done from the depth of our heart. And I think when it truly is, that's when God is pleased with it. It doesn't have to be in an amount. I'm not saying that there's any kind of amount. I'm just saying where your heart needs to be. Our lesson is on a call to sowing. And we can have a physical call, or we can have a spiritual call. Because in both cases, in the 19th chapter of Proverbs, and the 17th verse, It says, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So, you see, God looks upon our giving. In other words, he looks upon our heart where we are. Jesus said the poor will always be with us. If that's true, then there's no end to when our helpfulness, our desire to help these people, there's no end to that. We have this responsibility. He says, he that hath pity on the poor lendeth unto the Lord. In other words, the money that you give to the poor, you're lending to God. And God will repay it. Now, I tell you, I have trouble with that. I really, truly do. Not with the concept. I don't have trouble with that. I have trouble being generous. You know, I've told y'all many times my failings on that. Because during my working career, I've spent about 25 years downtown, and you get calloused to those people that are down there. You hear every kind of story that you could ever imagine. And you know these people are lying to you. They're just telling you a lie. And you try and get around it, and it just gets frustrating. You tell them, I won't give you any money, but I'll take you and get some food. They don't want that. They want the money. They want that because they want to buy alcohol. And so it just, after 25 years, you just kind of get callous to that. But it's not our place to get calloused. Our place is to do the bid of the Lord. He said, he that hath pity upon the poor. My problem is, I don't have enough pity. And I've told y'all, I was hoping I wasn't going to have to do this again. I've told you about the guy when I was eating lunch one day in the Crystal, and he wanted enough money to get him another hamburger. He'd already had a hamburger. Somebody gave him some money. And I told him I didn't have any more to give him. And that still bothers me. This day, I can't think about that man without tearing up, because God wanted me to do something, and I didn't do it. And that must have been, I don't know, that must have been 20 years ago. And I'm still affected by it. All God is asking is for us to have a giving heart. That's all he's asking. He said, if you have pity for the poor, we need more pity for the poor. Ian, through the Nashville Police Department, gives out toys and food every year at Christmas. And for the last couple of years, I've been going around with him on Christmas Eve, I think is when it is. It's just hard to see how some people live. We were in one, I told Brenda about this, we were in one this year that they were trying to heat their house with their oven. And a guy said, when we walked in, we said, Merry Christmas. And he said, it is now. Because we had food. There wasn't a lick of food in the house. They had nothing to eat at all. And they had, I don't know, two or three kids. And they were trying to heat that little apartment. With the oven door open. We just don't know how fortunate we are. We just don't realize how good God is to us. And these people are out there, and we need to have pity in our hearts for the people. That's what the Bible is teaching right here, to have pity. In the 9th verse of the 22nd chapter of Proverbs. It says, "He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor." Do we have a bountiful eye? Our lesson today is a call to sowing. This is part of it. In the 11th verse, it says, "Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God." That's saying, well, let me read the next one. "Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men." What this is saying is, it says, whilst by the experiment, which is the proof. Let me read this how it should be read. "Whilst by the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for your obedience." When we're obedient to God, we shouldn't lack in giving thanks to God for what it is that we have. And other people will see that in us if we will just be doing what God wants us to do. When we give to the poor, it brings about a thanksgiving for our efforts, for our ministry, for what we do. People will be thankful for it. These people that, I mean, we just took two big baskets of food into them and toys for the kids weren't going to get anything for Christmas. They didn't have any money for toys. And their thankfulness for that just weighs heavy on my heart. I mean, for how thankful they were for that little effort. And I walked out of there, and you just thank God that you have what you have. But if you're going to thank God for what you have, then you need to be willing to share what you have. That's what the Bible teaches. You need to be willing to share what you have. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. What more can be said? But thank you, Lord, for what you've given us. Because he didn't have to. But he did. He saw fit for each of us, everyone, to have what it is that we have today. And let's try and every day to thank him for what we've received. And when that time comes, and it will come, that you feel the need to give. And it will. You will feel that need. We need to heed that and give. And give with a generous heart. And give without feelings of regret, because it said you're lending this money, or whatever it is, you're lending it to God, is what you're doing. And it's like putting it in a bank. And he's the banker. And whether it's today or tomorrow or in heaven itself, one of these days, you're going to be paid back for all that you've done in sowing this and this means of sowing to the world, to give to them that don't have as much. And I think if we all get that attitude, I think God will be pleased with us. I think he will. That's my lesson. Does anybody have anything? Well, now, you know the rich young man that Jesus came in contact with, and he told him to give it all. You put yourself in that position. You put yourself in that young man's position. And if God told you to give it all, I'm not just talking about two mites. I'm talking about everything you own. Everything you own in this life, your savings account, your checking account, your pension money, your house, your cars, everything you've got, turn it over to God. How many would be willing to do that? How many would be willing to do that? Literally give it all. So that's a pretty, you know, that's a pretty hard thing to think about.
The young man was hit with a hard thing.
He was. He was hit with a hard thing. And you know, I have said this before. I'm not so sure that Jesus would have taken everything that he had. All he had to do was be willing to. You know, I mean, this young man, he might have said, I can do that. And that might have been a different outcome to that story right there. So, it's not necessarily the fact that God is going to ask you for everything you have. It's just the fact that we've got to have our heart in the right place to be able to do what God would have us to do whenever he wants us to do it. And if our heart's not in the right place, it doesn't do any good. I mean, you may look at it and say, well, I've done some good, but if your heart's not in the right place, now in God's eye, he has a completely different stick that he uses to measure our lives than what we would ever use. You know, we're all familiar with the yardstick. Well, God's yardstick is not the same as our yardstick, not by any stretch of the imagination. And so he doesn't view anything we do in the same light that we might put on it. And that could be that needs to be something we have to contemplate. That God, when he measures, it's not our measure. It's his measure. And he's the only one that can measure it because he knows all. He sees all. And when I told that guy I didn't have any more money to give for that hamburger, God knew I lied. God knew it. There wasn't no hiding it from... There just wasn't no hiding. I did wrong. And I thank God has let me know it all of these years. And who knows, what Brendan and I was talking the other day about entertaining angels on the wire. Who knows? Who knows? But it still hurts me as bad today as it did 20 years ago. And I've asked him to forgive me. It's okay if he doesn't forgive me for that. If that's one of the thorns I have to carry, I guess I'll just carry it for him. But it still affects me. It still hurts. Anyway, anyone else?
Thank God brings those things to our remembrance, because I told y'all about the man that pulled up and needed money for gas not too long ago. You know, I still think about that and other things that, you know, I could have stopped and helped, but I know God, you know, or I hesitated long enough that the opportunity passed for me to be able to help. And I think he brings those things back.
Oh, I think he does too. And you know, I also think that had I gone back in there, it wouldn't have had the same effect as it would have when it occurred, because I should have done something then, not have gone out and come back in and done something. But you know, that God, that's that measuring stick he uses again. I might could have gone back in there and given him money. I could have given him $5. I could have given him $10. But it wouldn't have done as good as if I had just bought him a hamburger when he asked me to. And that sounds ridiculous, but that's just how I feel about it. It's just his looking at it is different from our looking at it. And there's no doubt about that. Anyone else?
Just recently, I was meeting somewhere, and I would have to get the car and bring back up for another. Anyway, there's a man approached me and asked if he said I hate to do this, but I'm asking for gas money. If some family and all vehicle, they've been up north somewhere, is coming back trying to get Sunrise, Tennessee. For some reason, the story just sounded logical, so I was trying to think right now how much gas is going to take him to Sunrise. And I made a quick calculation, I went and gave it to them. But then I was kind of leery, really, that way I can do. Well, after I went and picked them up and started pulling out to the little service station, there he was over there getting gas.
Yeah.
And then I thought, so I should go over there and just pump the full for him. But I felt very comfortable with the store. Some stores they can find you pretty good.
Oh yeah, they really can. But I think we all have stories like that. But I think we all can do better.
Linda, when I told her what happened, she said, "How these people find this?"
We see the track.
That's true. How do they do that? Anyone else? Billy, would you dismiss us, please? Amen.